We're gonna be in God's Word. We're gonna be looking at this idea of renew. I've had for the last several years the privilege of working with a group of guys in North America where we put together and write curriculums for conferences and for youth events and different things. And God had been laying on my heart to working on some new kind of set of curriculum and thinking about this idea. And it was no coincidence when Tim asked me if I would speak this weekend. God was. The beauty of being a speaker, and many of you would know, is God's already working on me through the topic. And so when I'm presenting it here for this weekend, it's God telling it to me for the second time and hitting me over the head with it. And so this is something I'm not going to claim that I have perfected. It's something that I'm going through, and I pray God would just encourage all of us as we go through it. Anyway, all right, there we go. We're going to be talking about renew out of Mark 12:30. We're going to skip over that first one. Mark 12:30. It's a familiar passage. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Those are going to be our four topic items that we're going to look at over the course of today and tomorrow. We're obviously hunkering down tonight with heart. Tomorrow morning with soul. Then mind, and then tomorrow afternoon, rounding it out with strength. And we're going to look at how we need these things as part of our needed renewal. I don't know if you like word images like this. These help me when I study scripture. It may not help you. And I'll make these slides available to Tim, by the way. And so if you'd like those, you can contact Faith Mission and get these slides. But this is a easy way, and we usually use this when we're teaching young people and even athletes, student athletes in our ministry, how to study God's Word. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your strength. Mark 12:30. This doesn't help everybody. I understand that, but it is something that helps me sometimes to write things out like that in studying a verse. But I pray this is a verse you already have written and down and in your mind that you've studied, that you've memorized. If you haven't, maybe this is a technique is helpful, but this is an imperative verse as we look at our context this weekend of renewal. I want you to just think for a second, and I want you to be honest with yourself. I know this is something that happens at a lot of conferences, but I'd really like you to jot something down in your notebook. But really, why did you come this weekend? No one else is going to look. I'm not going to ask anybody to share these things. But why? I want you to be honest with yourself and before the Lord. It's not a negative thing, but did you come this weekend because you just wanted to get out of the house? That's fair. Write it down if that's it. Is it, I'm tired of not going anywhere during COVID. I needed to get out of the house. Then that's fair. Write that down. It might be a spiritual answer. I'm not saying it has to be. It might be that I really wanted to come and have God speak to me. Maybe it's I really wanted to come and be challenged by the Lord this weekend. Every one of you has a reason why you came. You all made it a conscious decision to register, to step out of your house, get in your vehicle, or go to the airport, or whatever it was to get here. And I'm just wondering if you'd write that vulnerably down, because we're going to revisit that again tomorrow. Doesn't mean that your answer is wrong and it's going to be right tomorrow. But I want you to write that down, and I want you to think on it. We're going to start by talking about the renewal of our hearts. It's a very deep topic, and we're not going to spend a ton of time on it tonight. I know 9 o'clock is snack time, I've learned one thing as a speaker at events is you don't mess up food time. So we will be done by 9. That's my promise to you. But we're going to talk tonight about the renewal of our hearts. Before we do that, I'm going to pray as we're just vulnerable before the Lord Jesus. Father, God, I don't know what brought each of these dear men here this weekend. Some are here because they generally wanted to be challenged by you. But there are some here that came just for a change of pace. And God, that's not wrong. Please hear me. I'm not condemning anyone. But Father, as we just are vulnerable before you, Lord, that's where true renewal will happen. If we try to prove ourselves or show that we're some spiritual person to those around us, it's not going to do anything for the renewal of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Lord Jesus, we need you. And so, Father, I pray that whatever reason we're here, we are here. God, I pray that you would cut out any temptations or distractions. And Father, let us focus in on your word. Father, I love you so much. Thank you for loving us first. In your name, amen. Amen. We're going to look at 1 John. I do have some scriptures where I'm going to ask some people to read, by the way. So if you're one of those that enjoys reading, then know that. You can be the first one to volunteer. I want us to look at this this familiar verse. For this weekend, in many ways, Mark 12:30 really sums up what it means to follow Christ. But when someone, a follower of Jesus, living in this world with all of its distractions and difficulties, it takes work and constant renewal for us. You know, just backing up here a moment. We'll get way back to that verse in a second. Just backing up, I had the privilege when I was in university. I already told you I played high level soccer, right? I played I ran cross country. I was very busy with those two sports on top of, trying to keep up some academics, which were not always fantastic. But I decided that we had another mandate in our school that you had to take a physical education class. Sports didn't count. So you either had to take another where you had to run more, and I was already running in soccer. I was running long distance in cross country. They wouldn't let those count. So I either had to take a physical education class where I had to run more, push-ups and sit-ups, all those things more, or the other option was the Reserve Officers Training Corps for the United States Army. And so you could join that, you get a cool uniform, you have to give up some weekends, but you get to shoot guns, and that's the way that they projected it. Well, it sounded fantastic to me because it was a change of pace, so I signed up. The physical education class was for one semester. No one told me that when you sign up for the U.S. Army Training Course, it's for 2 years. No one told me that. Okay, so I found myself here, again, a Canadian, born to a Norwegian and a Canadian. I'm standing in front of an American flag with my hand up, and there was some type of a commitment that I had to say. And now, for 2 years, I joined the U.S. Army Reserve Officers Training Corps. Now, we were cadets, not soldiers, but I have a lot of stories, Some of them good, most of them not so great. I was also the only one in my entire battalion that had an accent. That was a lot of fun. Anybody wanted to pick on somebody, it was the Canadian, because all the rest were Americans. Anyway, one of the things I learned in my time, though, with serving with this Reserve Officers Training Corps was it's not enough to just learn something one time. Land navigation, which I still have not learned, by the way, but land navigation, with a compass going out into the woods, leading other people, very important concept. So they would teach it to us and we'd go out and do it. Then we'd come back next week, they'd teach it to us, we'd go back out and do it. We'd teach it and back out and do it. We did it over and over and over and over and over again. It was repetition. And so by the time that it was time that we actually needed to implement it, we knew what we were doing. The beauty is if we could look at Scripture that way, if we could look at our service to the Lord Jesus that way, that we need repetition, we need to be in God's Word, we need to not just read the book of Matthew and be okay that we're not going to read it again for another 4 or 5 years, but we need to keep reading it, we need to keep writing it in our hearts so that that's what comes out and we live it. We need that constant renewal so we stay sharp and we stay focused. Does anybody know the Christian comedian Mark Lowry? Has anybody ever heard of Mark Lowry? Yeah, he was part of the Gaither Vocal Band, and incredible guy. He said this: if you come to Christ, it will be a roller coaster. Lots of ups and downs and turns that you don't expect, but in the end, there is a track, a plan that gets you home. Now, I despise roller coasters personally. I don't do them. My wife loves them, but it's so right. If we come to faith in Jesus, it's a roller coaster that goes up and down, but there's a steady track that gets us to where it gets us home. It's a steady track that gets us home. But we need to have this, we need to stay sharp, we need to stay focused on the mission that God has called us to. Let's look at the 1 John here, 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of one's possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever. A few things I just want to pull out of this verse here. We spend a lot of our time, money, and resources loving the things of the world. We all do it. I could ask for a show of hands, and it might be some that would keep our hands down, but we all do it. We have a love of the things of the world. And there are some cool things in this world. There really are. There's some cool technological advances that make life easier. There's so many things, and they're not all bad, but there are things that we could easily fall in love with. The world's full of all these distractions, pulling us in different directions, most of them away from God and his mission. Might be in small ways, but as we start to love the things of the world more and more, because they make our lives easier more and more, invertedly what happens, it starts to pull us more and more away from the things of the Lord Jesus. Here's a question. Is our heart following Jesus, or is it focused on the world? That's a very broad question, I know. Very generalized question, but a very important one. It's a very important question. It's a question we should all be asking ourselves on a regular basis. Is our heart following Jesus, or is it focused on the world? Is it so wrapped up in things that are going on around us that we lose sight of what's important? Now, I'm going to show you a video clip. I'm going to preface this really quick. This video clip does fit in. I'm going to be showing my favorite TV show, Right or Wrong. You can judge me if you'd like. Feel free, but is The Office. I don't know if anybody watches. Not the British version, but I'm a big fan of The Office. It was a U.S. sitcom. Not everything in there is good. I'm not saying that it is, but it's a funny show, and I enjoyed watching it over the years. I'm going to show a clip from that, and because it really drives home this point. A U-turn when possible. If you don't know the context of the show, they're salesmen, paper salesmen. They're trying to go and win back some of their clients, okay? All of it was failing, and so they're having a bad day going for their last client. But in this video clip, it's a secular TV show. But what's really happening here is he can't see what's right before him. He's listening solely to this GPS device that's telling him the instructions, but he's not allowing his common sense to actually kick in and realize what it's trying to say. And, maybe it's a weird spiritual application for you, but that happens to us all the time. You see, we're not allowing our vision to be clear where we're watching and looking at where Jesus is leading us, because we're trying to listen to the things of the world saying that can't happen. That's not gonna work. Don't do that, or go this way, it's easier, when Jesus is saying, follow me. Now, I'm not saying the GPS is Jesus in this analogy, please hear me. But We need to have our heart in tune to where God is leading us, but often these distractions can overtake us. We're going to look at three things here briefly in the next 11 minutes. Three things briefly.
Don't worry about Nick, we started late. You keep going.
Of how to renew your heart. How to renew your heart. Number one, what's the focus of your heart? What is the true focus of your heart? And we're going to look at this. I need somebody to read for me. Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Luke, the 15th chapter, 11 through 32. A very common story that we would all know, but we're gonna pull a quick couple things out of it. So who would like to read this for me? And a familiar story to all of us, but I want to highlight a couple of things here. See, Jesus tells us the story of the two brothers. Each of them represents our heart. And a rebellion against God in two different ways. The first brother's rebellion is obvious. We'd all agree with that. He tells his father, you're dead to me. I want to leave you. Give me the money. And his heart is drawn to a wild, carefree lifestyle, right? In the end, he comes home, which is a beautiful part of God's intention here. But the older brother's rebellion is a little less obvious, but it's there. He doesn't outright leave his father to go to party and to have carefree, but he only stays so he can benefit from what his father has given him. Just like the younger son, he does not love his father, really. I don't see that in this. He only wants to get the reward. His heart is just as selfish as his younger brothers. See, we see this rebellion play out in two different ways. Sometimes when we read this passage, we focus on the younger brother and then the restoration, which again is God's intent here, that kind of comes at the end, but this other brother kind of gets lost to us at times. But how many of us would resonate with that older brother? I have to admit, I oftentimes do. Question, is it possible to obey God but not truly love him? Is it possible to obey God but not truly love him? I shared my testimony, a brief bit of it with you earlier, and for a lot of years that I obeyed God, but I didn't do it out of love. I did it to impress my parents, the big bad missionaries. Did it to impress the people at the Christian university, the Bible college that I went to. Did it to impress a girl. But is it possible to obey God and not truly love him? The point Jesus is trying to make here is that there isn't the middle ground. It doesn't matter if we do everything perfectly or if we're a good person. If our hearts don't follow and love God, the good things we do really are insignificant. My favorite part of being a Christian is I'll put it this way. People, we lived in the Middle East for 7 years, or just almost 7 years. My wife and I and two of my kids were born in the Middle East, two here in Canada. And people would ask me, what do you follow? Or, you know, what religion are you? A lot of our Muslim friends. And so I'd say Christian, and until I realized I had to stop saying that because they wanted to know, what kind of Christian are you? Are you like Billy Graham or Tom Cruise? Which kind of Christian are you? And I thought, well, if you're putting those two on a spectrum, that's ultimately you're just going to pick one of the two ends, and I don't want you to do that. And so I love Billy Graham, but I also don't want somebody to compare my faith just to Billy Graham's. I want them to see Jesus in me, not see another person, right? But we had to quickly decide, my wife and I, how we wanted to answer that question. So when they said, what are you? What religion are you? And I would say, I'm a sinner saved by God's grace. That's what I do now. I fly a lot for my work. And I always get an aisle seat so I can, lock somebody in on the side. And I do. And sometimes we have great conversations. Sometimes it's just extremely awkward because they don't enjoy being talked to. But I love it when they ask me that. And I say, I'm a sinner saved by God's grace. And so their immediate reaction is, well, what does that mean? Well, hold on. I'm about to tell you. But the point is, being a Christian, that's my favorite thing, is being a sinner saved by his grace. It's just that. It's his grace. It's nothing that I did to deserve it. It's nothing I can do to earn it. It's his grace that he paid for me and you on the cross. Some may think that the heart is all that matters, then it's okay. We can keep on sinning over and over again. After Jesus has come in and cleaned our hearts, it's okay if we just keep on sinning and sinning. That's not the point here. The heart has got to be transformed. The heart is transformed by his grace. And God wants us to continue to cultivate that and not become a prisoner to sin again. He wants us to continue to renew our heart, renew that focus. He knows the temptations that were around, but we have to continually work with our heart to keep that focus singularly on the Lord Jesus because of that grace. Number two, what motivates the heart? What motivates the heart? Question, has anything ever distracted you from what you should have been doing? Here's just a quick story. You may have heard this before, but this came out of the Soviet Union back in the late 70s. There were a string of thefts that were taking place from factories. Okay, this is a true story. And so to stop it, the authorities decided to put guards at all the different factories. One in particular, timber factory, had a lot of money missing in the books, and they were trying to figure out what was going on. So the guard knew the workers very well, and the first evening out came this specific worker with a wheelbarrow filled with a big bulky sack, and the guard said, okay, stop, what do you have in there? And he said, it's just sawdust and shavings. The guard said, come on, I know it's you. I wasn't born yesterday. And so he cut open the sack, poured it all out, and out came sawdust and shavings. That was it. So he let him pick it all up and take it home. The exact same thing happened the next night of the week, and the next night, and the next night, and the next night. And finally, the guard became so frustrated, and he stopped the same worker again. And he said, what? He said, okay, I know something is happening. They're still reporting that the money is, you know, is being missed here. There's something going on. What is it? What are you stealing? I know it's something. And he said, yeah, you caught me. And the guard said, well, what are you stealing? And he said, wheelbarrows. I'm stealing wheelbarrows. The books aren't making sense because they have to keep buying new wheelbarrows, but nobody put two and two together. But the fact is, it was right before the guard. It was right there before him, and he kept missing it over and over again. You see, the world is full of evil these days. Many things that try to distract us from our focus on God. Think about the distractions filling your heart. The reality, I want you to focus in here. The reality is we're the ones that are allowing the distractions to come in. It's easy for us in evangelical Christianity to quickly blame Satan for all the distractions going on. For men, no matter what age, there's always a temptation of pornography. It always exists. I've yet to meet a man honest before the Lord Jesus that could tell me that it just does. That's not even a remote possible temptation. Because if it happens, if you see it, if you view it, it can easily become a distraction for us in life. But ultimately, we're the ones that are allowing that in. But we have this tendency where we blame Satan. Well, Satan is tempting me with all these things. Well, he's at the root of it, yes. But we're the ones opening the door to allow it. We can't just shift the blame and say it's all Satan's fault. We have to take some ownership there too. Satan may have crafted a way for it to pop up on our web browser, but it was your willpower that clicked it. We have to take some responsibility there. But has anything ever distracted you from doing what you should be doing? Absolutely, for all of us. It's so important for us to evaluate and think through this question. What are some things that try to get our hearts to love them? I challenge you just to write this down. You don't have to write any objects right now. Maybe it's something you want to do later. Maybe it's not. But I challenge you to write it down, not because it's profound. Nothing I'm sharing with you is profound. I'm not inherently a super intelligent person. I'm not the world's gift to speaking. I know that. But this is a question that I try to ask myself. I have it written on a piece of paper in my office. I try to ask myself this quite often. What are some things that try to get my heart to love them? And out of that list, I try to mark how many of them are good and pure and how many of them are rooted in evil. I won't share with you the percentage of that list, but it's not always great. It's important for us to have this self-evaluation period. See, selfish motivations and distractions can creep into our lives at any moment. At any moment. Third and last in this session, we're looking at return your heart to the Lord. Return your heart to the Lord. We first looked at how to renew the heart. We looked at what is the focus of our heart. We looked at what motivates our heart. And now our third point is how do we return our heart to the Lord? See, Jesus said this about a group of people whose hearts were not in the right place in Matthew 15:8. He said, "These people honor me with their lips, but with their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Think about that for a minute. Think on this. Whatever your heart loves, your mind is also drawn to. Whatever your heart loves, your mind is also drawn to. Again, I shared my testimony to you. My heart was really drawn to competitive sports. I trained hard. I put money, I put effort, I put everything I had into the game of football. That was my life. That was my idol. That was my everything. Whatever your heart loves, your mind is drawn to also. I was drawn to all things. I watched every match I could possibly find on TV. I was, you know, any games, I would go watch other games. I was just so drawn to it because I loved it. If I could go back, and I don't believe in going back. I don't believe in regrets. I believe in learning from things that God it's happened in our lives. Again, everything that's happened in my life has shaped me to be who I am today. But I often think if I could go back and make sports less in my life, and I would have put all that effort and energy into the things of the Lord Jesus. My life maybe would have taken a better trajectory faster. I don't know. I'm not speculating, but I just wonder what could have happened. Is it true of you? In what way, you know, is your praise of God, is it only an outward thing? Or is it something that's really happening on the inside? You know, as we get ready to end, I want to share, I wasn't planning to do this, but I want to share a story of my friend. Back in university, again, Bible college, when we got there, it was a small Christian school in the foothills of South Carolina. And right in the mountains, and it was a border of South Carolina and North Carolina. And we had to do this orientation, okay, and freshman orientation. And you had to get in line from birth dates, from, you know, oldest to youngest. But you couldn't speak, only use hand motions. And there weren't that many of us. I think it was probably maybe 60 of us in that freshman class. It was fairly small. And it was pretty easy to get into it, except for my friend Lynn and I. We struggled because our hand motions were both producing the exact same birth dates, exact same month, date, and year. Very odd to meet somebody born the exact same month, date, and year as you. So we were trying to figure out, well, then by hour now, who's earlier? Because if we got it wrong, we missed out on the ice cream buffet that they had ready for us. Okay, but if we got all 60 of us got it right, we got the ice cream buffet, right? And at that point, you know, I wanted the ice cream buffet. So we were trying to figure out by hour, and I was an hour and a half earlier by hand motions, which really gets difficult, by the way, with getting into hours and minutes with fingers. But we figured it out, and so we got it right. We did get the ice cream buffet, because I know you're thinking that. But my point is, I met this guy, Lynn, and we just became instant friends. Our parents were both foreign missionaries. We both grew up in the mission field. We were both born, again, the same month, date, and just two different countries. Just incredible, the bond that we had, and we both went on to marry godly women, both went on to go back on the mission fields ourselves with our families. He later joined the United States Army and became a chaplain, serving in the Middle East as the only evangelical chaplain in his entire battalion, getting to share the truth of Jesus, seeing some incredible things happen. Just before Christmas this past year, I got a call, and my friend Lynn was being a medevaced back to the United States because they found some inconsistencies in a couple medical tests. Long story short, they found a very rare and aggressive type of cancer in his body. And a stage 4 cancer that they're trying some experimental things, but they're not expected that he's going to make it much longer. The thing that's cool about my friend, and I actually spoke to him on the phone just before coming here today. The cool part about my friend Lynn is he loves Jesus so much with his heart that he's been asking people not to pray for his healing, but to pray that God would use his last breaths to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Even when I talked to him today, we laughed, we were just chit-chatting about some things. reminiscing of old days. But as we ended, he said, Hans, how can I pray for you? He had no idea that I was speaking at this conference or what I was speaking on. He said, how can I pray for your heart? How can I pray for your heart to stay pure before the Lord Jesus? Here's a guy who is literally in some of his last days. And asking me how he can pray for my heart to remain pure before the Lord. Because that's what his prayer was. That's what he asked of me, that I would pray that his heart would stay pure before the Lord in his last days. Whatever your heart loves, your mind is also drawn to. As we look at this passage this weekend, as we expand upon loving with soul and mind and strength, I pray that I'm praying for each of you, praying for me, that as God would speak, that we would start to identify for all of us, myself foremost here, some areas of our lives that need some cleaning up. Because I promise you, there's not a one of us here that don't need that. I share the story of my friend Lynn, not to hit a heartstring with any of you. Well, I'm sure we all have friends and family members that are going through some difficult circumstances. But what stands out to me about my friend Lynn is how much he wants to be used by the Lord Jesus. And that's been his theme and that he's encouraged me with our entire friendship. And so as we close here in this session tonight, and thinking about our heart, what's pulling at your heart? What's been pulling at it for a while? What do you know right now is causing you to have your eyes off of Jesus, because it's trying to pull your desires, it's trying to get you off where Jesus wants you. It'd be so easy for my friend Olin to be mad at God, to allow his heart to be focused on looking for cures and be out there doing all kinds of things. And we wouldn't fault him for either of those things, given the circumstances, I don't think. But instead of allowing his heart to be pulled in a direction where he knows it shouldn't be, he embodies the here am I, God. Here am I. So where are you at in your heart? What's going on in your life? What do you need God to help you remove? Father, as we just close this session, Lord, I know we moved quickly through some of these things and just being mindful of time, but Father, I pray that I think your words were heard clearly. Lord, I stand before these men far from perfect. Lord, Paul got it wrong when he said he was the chief of sinners. Hans should have been that name that he mentioned. Father, none of us in this room are perfect. Lord, we all have. We've all sinned. We all struggle with different sins that are in our lives right now, whether we choose to recognize it or not. We all have temptations. We all have things that are pulling at us, trying to steal our affection. When, Lord Jesus, you require all of it. Lord Jesus, I'm reminded of my friend Joe that I shared about in the beginning. Lord, Joe had me write down a priority list. On that priority list, I was to write down the things that deserved my attention the most. As I would put God as number one and start to list out other things, Every time he took the paper, ripped it, and said, start again. It wasn't until I wrote off the list, putting God as number one, and I put nothing else, did he say, you got it right. Lord Jesus, you don't want us to divide our heart and our focus on multiple things. You want us to give you all of it. God, even with my wife and my four kids at home, Lord, if I give you all of my heart, my focus, my attention, Lord Jesus, I know you're going to provide and take care of them. I don't need to try to figure that out on my own. So God, as we talk about renewal this weekend, Lord Jesus, God, I pray for every man in this room. I pray for any of those listening to this recording later. Lord, that we're just honest before you and saying, I need to give up this, or I need this changed. Because God, I'm not giving you everything. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for speaking clearly. Lord, we require change. We require renewal. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just move in a mighty way. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are. In your name, amen. Amen.